Definitely.
Welcome to Shudder the Dark podcast, where we grow together on our Christian journey. And today is the showdown between Jesus and Satan in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Jesus is tempted three times by Satan. Let's see what happens. Jesus had just got done being baptized in Matthew chapter 3 by John the Baptist. John the Baptist did not want to baptize Jesus because he didn't think he was worthy to baptize Jesus, but it was part of the plan. So shortly after this baptism, the Spirit led Jesus into the forest, into the woods, into a wooded area. This is where Jesus would spend 40 days and 40 nights by himself fasting. And when you fast, you pray. So he was communing with his Father for 40 days and nights. At the end of this 40 days and nights, when Jesus was at his weakest point, and Jesus was hungry, and hunger, you're not as sharp as you usually are, and you don't think that well. Satan showed up at Jesus' weakest point. That's when Satan always shows up, when you're at your weakest point. Read the verses. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's Matthew 4:1. The next slide we'll see is Luke 4:1. Chapter 4 in both Luke and Matthew. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. Isn't this awesome? Isn't this what God wanted? He was led to the Spirit into the wilderness after being baptized. So what was the first temptation out of the three temptations? Jesus was hungry. Jesus was very hungry. And after he had fasted 40 days and nights, he then became hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be turned to bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Satan immediately attacked him with food. "Eat, you're the Son of God. Turn the stones into bread. You have the power." That's not what fasting was about. And Jesus was not about showing his power. Not at all. Not at all. He could have turned the stone into bread. What was the bread that Jesus was talking about? Jesus was talking about the mouth of God. What it comes out of the mouth of God? The Word of God. The Word of God is the living Word of God. So that is what Jesus came back with. Food is not what I need. I need to listen to the Word of God. This shows the faith and steadfastness that Jesus had. And it shows that he had knowledge of the Bible. So when Jesus was growing up, he also, like John the Baptist, was learning the Bible and knew the Bible well, knew the Old Testament well. We didn't hear a lot about his childhood because I think homeschool was working. Also, another point I want to point out is that the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. The Holy Spirit was there with Jesus as he entered into the forest, his fasting, his praying. So he's just building up the spiritual growth. But the devil's not done. He threw food at him. But what else is there to throw at Jesus? I want to point out Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. "You shall remember all the way which your Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, talking about Israel, that he might humble you, testing you. What was Satan doing to Jesus? This was back in Deuteronomy chapter 8. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you, let you be hungry, and fed you manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And it goes on to verse 4, your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. So the clothes didn't wear out, footwear didn't wear out. What was Jesus doing? And in Deuteronomy verse 5, it says, thus you are to know your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you as a man disciplines his son. It amazes me. Jesus will discipline us, but at the same time he's disciplining us, he still takes care of us. Their feet didn't swell. And this is what's happening with Satan and Jesus. Satan is tempting Jesus with this bread, and Jesus comes back from words almost directly out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. So we know that this is from Jesus' education, knowledge of the Bible. It's really awesome. Verses 5 through 7 is the second temptation. Let's see where this takes us. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will not command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. Isn't that true? We're not supposed to put God to the test. We're not supposed to say, oh, I'm going to sin on purpose, or I'm going to do this on purpose. You just don't test God in that manner where you said you're going to do something just to test him. Jesus is telling us, don't test God in the sense that you purposely do something or sin or say, I'm going to throw myself off a mountain and God is going to catch me. No, you're not supposed to do that. That's the other really cool thing. Let's go to Psalms 91, verses 11 and 12. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you will not strike your foot against stone. Again, this is showing it's new to the Bible. This is Psalms 91, 11, and 12. God meditated on the Word. He prayed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit during this time of fasting. He wasn't just out there not eating. He was out there meditating and praying to the Father. How often do we actually meditate and pray on God? Not as much as we should, that's for sure. One of the things, the first temptation, George Whitefield, the preacher in the past, wrote a sermon. And he said something that I thought was really cool. I read the sermon and I took this one excerpt of it. Doest not thou know friends, said he, that a tree which grows by itself is more exposed to winds and storms than a tree that stands surrounded with other trees in the wilderness? He was talking about the Matthew chapter 4. And so Jesus was able to combat this because he didn't stand alone. He had the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and fasting and knowledge. Soon he's going to have disciples. So Jesus knew he could not do this alone. And I think that's encouraging. In the same manner that Jesus cannot do this alone, we can't ourselves go through this Christian life alone. We can't do everything that we want to do. We can't do everything we feel we should do if we don't have support. Basically, Jesus is our solution to our problem. Salvation is the solution when we read the Bible, pray, worship, fast, gather with our fellow Christians, depend on the Holy Spirit's leading, temptation becomes less of an issue. We are focused on God and obedience. And we owe it to God. Following God is never easy, though it's worth it. You know, the devil can make life very fun and exciting and show you all the things you can do and you're not tied down by God. But that's short-lived. You are that tree standing alone without protection. Because when you make that type of friends, I've sat back and watched it. When you make those type of friends, you're by yourself. When things get down in the end and things are really bad, and you're doing things that God doesn't want us to do, where are your friends? Where's your Christian brothers and sisters that you never made because you never went to church? Where are people that know how to love, know how to care, and should be giving? I know not all Christians are going to be perfect, and we always don't follow up the way that we should with people that are sick. I've had cancer about 3 times, and I know when I've left the church, sometimes I thought I was without anyone. I didn't have anyone. I was just by myself. Nobody called from the church, but after I got back to church, I found out that I wasn't by myself. I may have not had people calling me and floundering gifts on me and checking up on me all the time, but I had prayer warriors that were praying for me. That was awesome. And I honestly believe that's the only reason I'm sitting behind this camera today is those prayer warriors. So what Jesus did, that's 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and praying and being led by the Holy Spirit, that's what we can do to avoid the temptations. And the third, now we know Jesus isn't going to throw himself for the angels to catch him. We know he's not going to turn stones to bread. Satan's got one more arrow to throw at Jesus. And what's the ultimate arrow? Hint, one of them was, I want to rule the world. We've had countries that's wanted to do that and those type of things. So let's find out what happened on the third temptation. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you. Tell Jesus he's going to give them. God's already won. Jesus is going to die on the cross for our sins. The war has already been won. The devil is deceitful. All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, go look at Satan, probably in the form of a powerful looking angel. Jesus in the human form, small, hungry, probably skinny, dizzy, stomach hurting. But Jesus had so much authority. And that authority was not just, it was given to him by God. Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Worship and serve God only. That is what we're supposed to be doing. So if you question what you should be doing for God, fast, pray. God's going to open those opportunities. He's going to open your path, what you're supposed to do for God. and serve God. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That says it all. Jesus was able to resist. James chapter 4, 7 through 8. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jesus resists the devil as commanded. He did flee from God. Draw near to God. He drew near to God in 40 days, 40 nights, and he will draw near to you. So not only did Jesus come near you, but he built that relationship. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. I think every one of us is double-minded. We have been all guilty of so many sins, but we pray for forgiveness. And that's why God wants us to worship, read the Bible, stay at church, have accountability. Just think of the options that we have available to us if we open our heart to God. Our life is not our own, it's God's. He gave it to us. We owe it to him. He don't owe us anything, but he does. I'm sitting behind a microphone with lamps and I have a computer over here and I got stuff. That's what I got. But it's God who gave it to me. I didn't have all this available just because I wanted it. The bottom line is this. Jesus loves us. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to fast, worship, read our Bible, develop a relationship with him. The Holy Spirit will lead us. He didn't just tell us to do it. He did it himself. The final verse was the angels came out and ministered to Jesus. He went through this time of physically being by himself for 40 days and 40 nights without food and fasting. And the angels came and ministered unto him. And the following verses we'll get into, Jesus picks up his disciples. Things change. He starts growing his ministry. John the Baptist came. He baptized Jesus. Jesus fasted, grew closer at the very beginning of his ministry. So if you're about to start a ministry, or you want to start a ministry, you want to do something for God, go into the woods for 40 days and nights. You don't have to go into the woods. Fast and pray and read your Bible. Focus on God. He gives us clear instructions of what to do. It's not complicated. I really enjoyed this. We would be sharp. We would be on our game. I'm not any better than any of you out there. I know that Jesus loves you. He wants you to be saved. You got to accept him into your heart. Follow this. It's Matthew chapter 3. Read chapter 4. It's the temptations. How do we stop temptations in our life? Whether it's gambling, drinking. I've got members in my family that are alcoholics. They put that before God. All they got to do is learn not to put it before God. Put it after God. Go to church. Now, admittedly, I have a family member that's going to church, and it's helping them. And we're constantly praying. You've got to put God first. Everything else falls into place. This has been a video on temptation, how to avoid temptation. The bottom line is this. And yes, I'm reading from my notes. Pray, read, worship, church, fast, be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. Know that we cannot always complete all steps immediately. It takes time. Nobody joins any program and immediately gets on board of all the steps and has it all organized. And if they do, give me a call. I want them to teach me. Start a habit. You're in line at Walmart. Our cell phones have Bibles on them. There's the YouVersion app. Anybody can download it. It's free. That's a blessed ministry that offers that to people. You open that up and read a verse of the Bible. It inspires. Get the word of God. Feed on the word of God. When you're going back and forth to work, pray. When you're alone in the car and instead of getting mad and frustrated, talk to God. Just build the habit of it. Get up a little bit early, and you don't have to read 10, 15 chapters, take 10, 15 pages of notes and all this stuff. You don't want to know the Bible. Set up and try to memorize a verse a week. That's something I should start. But put it on your phone. Read the Bible when you're sitting there. So this week, go out there, start your habit. Start that praying, the reading of the Bible, fasting. Start one of those, or all of those. But I would pray and I would read my Bible. Most surely, definitely attend church. And because you have friends at church that should be holding you accountable to doing these things, because none of us do it without help. End of the story. Thank you for listening. I hope this has been a blessed message. I hope this helps you get started. Maybe show somebody about how to get started to be a Christian. It's really the start of Jesus' ministry. Thank you for listening to Shutter the Dark Podcast with James Brown.